Okay. Aaron in Folsom, California wants to know, oh, do black people do April Fools?
Have you ever had a question you wanted to ask the opposite race, but you were too nervous to ask?
I'm Turner Sparks.
And I'm Phil Duckett.
And this is Black and White Advice.
Where we answer all your questions about race, even the scary ones.
This is Black and White Advice. If you've got a question but you're scared to ask, just drop the boys a message, because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice, they ain't always nice, but you can't think twice.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm Turner Sparks.
Phil Duckett, motherfuckers.
We got Joe, the Muscle Russell, on the ones and twos.
No, we don't. Joe's not here.
Everybody, it's your old pal.
We got Joe Cosby
on
the ones.
We got Billy Boy in here. I'm on the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours, you see. Now, Rudy, Theo. You gotta watch the show, you see, with the black and white advice.
What about That's So Raven? What's her name? Remember her?
Raven, what was her?
She was the little kid.
Yeah, oh fuck, I forgot her name.
I think her name was That's So Raven, wasn't it? That's
my daughter, Camille. I'm just having myself a little drink back here. And I'll be running the show. So...
This is so much better than Rush Limbaugh.
Do this for an hour.
I said, this is better than the Rush. That's so much better. That's good. That's.
I think I'm going to start just practicing my impressions on this show.
Maybe this is your launch to Saturday Night Live. Can you do a Cosby on SNL? Will they accept that?
I don't think anyone could do that anymore.
Do you see Morgan Wallen walked off SNL?
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
Country singer. He's phenomenal. He's one of my favorite country singers.
Really?
Yeah, he's really
good. I don't know anything about country music.
Oh, I love country. But yeah, Morgan Wallen, why did they say he's
They
a
were
huge...
like, Morgan Wallen walked off. I'm like, you know when you don't know? It's like reading like a British tabloid to me. I'm like, but I've never heard of any of these people. And they have three teeth,
man,
so what do
got
I care?
Some good music, man.
So what's his deal? Why did he walk off?
Well, you know, SNL's super liberal. He's super MAGA.
Okay, is that? I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I would assume so. He's a country singer. So, you know what I mean? Super MAGA. But I didn't really see why.
So why go on in the first place? Wouldn't
probably
you just.
Because he didn't think that, like, you know what I mean? He probably thought he was just going to be doing some music. They probably, like, I don't know. We'd have to do some research
Maybe
on it.
Maybe he did. I like how we're opening the show. I'm having no idea.
We're regular people.
What
you
we're
know?
Talking about.
Hey, listen. It was on Barstool. So, you know what I mean?
Maybe
KFC
you just had
Barstool.
To shit really bad. Like, you ever gotten off stage and you're just like, I got to go right to the bathroom.
Maybe
you
ever, it's holding a
have
pee.
You ever had to end the set early because you had to shit?
No, I don't think I have.
I saw a comedian do that. I don't know if it was, he was just fucking around, but he said, shit. He was like, guys, I got to run. He was like, my stomach just locked on me.
No way.
Yeah, I laughed so hard because I was like, I don't know if that's real or not.
My stomach
just locked on me. He was like 5 minutes short.
Well, what about Cory Booker the other day? Spoke for 25 hours straight in front of Congress. Did you see that?
Filibustering.
Yeah,
he broke Strom Thurmond's fucking record. That racist fuck. He's from South Carolina. That's how I know who Strom Thurmond is. They have a high school named after him. Super racist.
They do?
Yeah, Strom Thurmond High School.
He did 24 hours to try to stop civil rights from going passing.
Uh-huh.
And then, so he did 25. But how did it, but then I read that.
I feel like back then it wouldn't have taken 24 hours. They were all racist. They were like, yeah, fuck them.
And
15 minutes
though.
Later.
Didn't it pass? It was in the 60s.
Yeah, it was right during the time.
Yeah. But then, but how does Cory Booker go to the bathroom?
I watched it. He said that he had prepared previous to it because he had gone 15 hours. So he took the same techniques, but he said he had fasted for days. And he said he hadn't had water in like 2 or 3 days.
No diaper?
Yeah, no. And he said that, but the thing is, he said when he finally did start drinking water, it's because he was cramping so bad. But, I mean, what do you talk about for 12 hours? I feel like...
I was watching because I was stuck in Atlanta Airport for 6 of those hours from 5 a.m. to noon, and there's 7 hours. And so I was checking in and watching. He was actually talking about issues the entire time. Whereas, like, they said Strom Thurmond would just read out of the encyclopedia. He wasn't actually talking about... Strom Thurmond wasn't talking about
stuff. He's just filling time.
Normally, when people do in the past, they'll read, like, the sports page. They'll go to ESPN.com. They'll be like, now this, the Jets beat the Giants... But then Cory Booker was doing...
Do people just sit there through that while they're reading the sports page?
Usually no one's there. Literally everyone goes home.
Gotcha. I was wondering, I was like, is it required that you stay?
No. And when I was watching at 5 a.m., because I was stuck at the airport, you could tell there was like one guy in the audience, because he was kind of doing bits, and they were just bombing. And I'm like, that was pretty good, actually.
He was, and then people come back at the next workday, like, oh, Corey's still here.
Yeah.
I thought that was Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
I could actually see that for sure.
Before we keep going with the show, I want to Patreon. We got to give a shout out to Patreon. We have new Patreon subscribers since the last time we shouted everybody out. We got Joe Barneson. What's up, Joe? Rebecca Grapevine. Gretchen.
Heard it through the grapevine.
Heard it through Rebecca Grapevine. Gretchen Evans and Pascal Hauser. I believe he's in Austria.
Dude,
I know
I
him.
Love Pascal and the Rest of Us, the show.
I don't know. Is that
Oh, that's Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, it might be him. His name's Pascal Hauser. They could be the same
reversed.
Person.
It's dyslexic, Pascal.
And also, I want to start with an apology. I need to
The black community.
No. Well, uh-huh. To some of the black community. I need to apologize to Theo Dumas, Michael Taylor, and Anthony Lawrence.
Why? What'd they do?
They are... I said a few episodes ago that we only had one black guy in our town. And it was Bill Cartwright's son. And those are my other friends who were black in the town.
And they were like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, so I have to make a formal apology.
Turner was like, I don't see color.
Formal apology.
I thought you guys were like me.
Theo Dumas, Anthony Lawrence, and Michael Taylor. Michael Taylor's dad played for the Raiders.
So they're all rich black
kids.
Theo
Dumas' cousin, Tony Dumas. Remember him from the...
They got money from the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, and he played for the Mavs for a little while.
Yeah,
and then Anthony's sister was on
So all
ESPN.
The black people in your town
she
come
was
from
a
professional
sports
athletes?
Broadcaster. Not Anthony, but the other...
Anthony's dad was the janitor.
No. But his sister did it up on ESPN for a while as like a host.
Okay, so successful black people are the only type of black people your town accepts.
Yeah, and then
there's no Section 8 in Sacramento, my boy.
No, it's El Dorado Hills. Sacramento is mixed city.
Okay,
yeah,
El Dorado
a suburb.
Damn.
Up the hill. So formal apology to those guys, my friends. Shout out to them.
Let me have a shout out real quick because he listens. Shout out to Coach Stitt, man. Philip Stitt, my coach, man. He's in Texas, man. He listens to all the episodes. It threw me off so much when he was like, Phil, you're not gonna call me the N-word, are you? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he was like, well, that's what you say
and we might call you the N-word.
I said, wow, you really listen. I had no idea. I was like, why would I call you the N-word?
What did he coach you in?
Basketball, college basketball.
College basketball.
But I've known him before he coached me. He was my dad's assistant coach in college. So he, growing up, he taught me how to do a left-hand layup because my dad was like always working stuff. So he would go in the gym and work with me. And then as I got older, I ended up going to play junior college basketball for him in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
And then he was, when I ended up going to play for my dad at Grambling State University, he was my dad's assistant. My dad brought him with him. And so I've known him my entire life and he listens to our podcast.
Coach
when he's on,
Stint?
Stitt.
Coach Stitt, shout out.
Coach Stitt, what up, Phil?
Thanks for listening. Oh yeah, one more apology. The barbershop that I trashed last week, It's actually called George's Barbershop.
Oh, we want to correct that. We want to end two barbershops.
I said it was called Mr. Right. That's actually a barbershop in Brooklyn Heights that I used to go to, and I couldn't remember the name. But
probably phenomenal, and we just
they're pretty good. They're pretty good. Yeah, but we did put out a clip trashing them on accident.
Man. Dude, that's
so. It's called George's Barbershop with the Uzbekistan guy.
Barbershop.
Yeah. Don't worry, no one saw the clip.
Yeah.
Oh good.
The clip is doing terrible. You're right. Nobody saw the clip. 250 people don't even live here probably saw it.
Now, I have something I want to ask you about. I did a show last week in Medford, Oregon with my buddy Carl Lee, who goes by Black Carl. He's the only black guy in Medford, Oregon. He hosts a show.
Lives there?
Yeah.
Cool.
He hosts a show every Friday and Saturday
night. So he chose to call himself Black Carl, even though he's the only black person there, so they know it's Black Carl.
He's the only guy in the whole town, the only black person in the whole town.
So that seems like unnecessary, Carl.
Is there a white Carl?
I think there's a lot of white Carl.
Okay, that's why.
Because people, when people tell stories about him in town, they go, I was hanging out with Carl, and everyone goes, wait, black Carl? Yeah, black Carl.
Fuck, Carl. Damn.
So Carl's got it, you know, he's swimming upstream? He's fighting he's by himself.
He is.
Right? And then we do this show. He runs this great room every Friday and Saturday night. He's been doing it for 20 years in Medford, Oregon. I talked to him earlier today. He said I could tell the story. So
Carl, book me. You need another brother out there anyway. The fuck?
Book him. Take him out to Medford, Oregon.
Bring me out, bro. I'd definitely pull up on your ass.
They call it Methford, Oregon.
Oh.
And there's a reason why.
Oh.
The shows were
easy
packed.
Women.
Both shows. Well, yeah. They're on meth. They're in the parking lot doing laps.
Oh, man.
So... both shows total, packed. And Saturday night, Carl's on stage. He MCs and runs the room, does the whole thing. It's his show, right? Wow. He's awesome. So then he hosts both shows. Saturday night, I go up and he's at the back to the door to like, he's security too. He's literally everything. So then, go ahead. You're
very on brand. And you got to be security. Okay.
So I'm standing on stage and this old like biker, like a 70-year-old white guy with long hair and like a Hell's Angels jacket just comes into the room. And then I see Carl take him and just like, not physically touch him, but like be like, hey, leave, time to leave. You got to leave. He didn't want to buy a ticket. And he came in halfway through my closing set, meaning we're an hour into the show already. Right. And sold out and he wants to disrupt, right? So then Carl's like, no, get out of here. He gets out of there. It happens two more times. I'm the only one who can see it because I'm on stage. Two more times. And then the third time, Carl's like off somewhere else doing something. The guy comes in by himself, the old biker guy, takes a high-top bar stool, sets it down in the middle of the showroom, and then stands there for like a beat. And then he doesn't realize Carl like trailed him back into the room. The second he sits the bar stool down, Carl just takes it and walks out the door. And the old guy's standing there watching my set. And then he, after like 2 seconds, decides he wants to sit in that stool that's not there anymore. And just boom, like collapses. Falls back. Yeah. The whole place erupts. Everyone's like, whoa!
Everybody, because they saw him, the setup before.
Yeah, they could now kind of hear, by the second or third time, they could hear the commotion of like, gotcha. What is going on?
While you're like doing your...
While
like,
I'm in my act, yeah. They're all having a good time. It's just it's like a comedy club behaving itself with one guy causing problems. So then when the guy goes down, everyone's like, whoa! And I just started ripping on him from stage. And then he gets up and he goes, this is elder abuse! Elder abuse! I'm calling the
Hell's
police!
A Hell's Angel calls elder abuse?
Yes!
That man, give up your vest.
So it's at a hotel. The show's at like there's a bar that's attached to a hotel, right? So you stay at the hotel when you're doing the shows. So Sunday morning I go to check out. The owner of the hotel is there and he's like, hey Turner, what happened to the show last night? I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's like a fun time. What are you talking about? He goes, well, the cops have been here all morning. I'm like, what? He goes, they said there was like, this guy claims he got assaulted by the guy who owns the club.
The one black man in the town. They was going to lynch him.
Yeah.
Hey, man, let's do a wellness check on Carl.
No. So then here's what I want to ask you. So then the guy said he got assaulted by whoever who owns the club. Who was he talking? Who was he in a commotion with? And I was like, oh, well, Carl was working the door. He's like, oh, so Carl?
So you snitched on him.
I not on purpose.
White people, man.
Not on purpose.
They said, who was he? All you had to say is, I don't know. It was dark. That's all you had to respond to. It was dark.
No. Wait, let me back up. He said the story before he told me the police. He goes, hey, what happened to the room last night? I'm like, oh, no, it was fine. And he goes, well, I heard there was like some type of skirmish. I was like, oh, yeah, Carl had to kick this guy out. He goes, oh, okay. So
not all.
He goes, well,
the problem starter.
He goes, well, the police were here, yeah, and I just didn't know who to direct them towards. And I'm like, no.
He's like,
no.
We know now, though. Carl, yeah. Get your black ass black out of Carl. Town. We've been waiting to get you out of town for 20 years.
So then I'm like, am I, now I'm a snitch, right?
No, not now. You're a rat bastard.
No!
You're a rat bastard.
So then I said, I'll be a witness. But I also said, I'm leaving the state in like 45 minutes.
I will testify, but I'm headed home.
But I'm out of here. But I will testify if needed.
Do a wellness check on Carl because he's catching hell in his town right now.
So then I called Carl. Like,
you gave him a heads up.
Later in the day. Yeah, I called him. I'm like, hey, just let you know what's going on. He goes, dude, that guy's every single weekend at our venue always causing problems. He's like, I know the cops. I'm going to be fine. Turns out he was fine. But then I called Carl today, be like, am I allowed to say, his name's Carl Lee. Check him out. Follow him online. He goes, I was like, can I even tell this? Or is that all wrapped up? He goes, not only is it wrapped up with the police, the dude came back the next Friday and pretended like the whole thing didn't happen. And tried to buy, he like did a George Costanza, and he tried to buy a ticket.
Costanza is great. Just act like it never happened.
And he tried to, he's like, oh, ticket for one, please. And Carl was like, no, dude, you called the cops on me last Friday. And he was like, oh, no, I think it's fine. Trying to be like all prim and proper. Meanwhile, he's a Hell's Angel. So Carl now has banned him from the club and was like, if you come back, I'll call the cops on you.
Hey, Carl, bring me out there and we'll jump his ass. I'll get off the stage with that ass. We'll tap dance on that old man.
That'd be hilarious.
Fuck that shit. No, I see it happening. I got your back, my dog.
Also, it's a brilliant move because the guy claims he got assaulted. He Carl never touched him. He pulled a chair away.
We normally never do.
Yeah.
Plenty of black men have died behind those false accusations. Carl, stay black, brother.
So Anyway,
did this guy realize there's nothing fun left in the city to do? So I fucked up.
Yeah, it's the only bar in town. It was hopping too. So it's a hotel bar. So honestly, like going into this, I was like,
how many people is a whole? This might be rough. 50?
Like 80.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So going in, I'm like, this might be kind of rough. Like a hotel. I've done those hotel bars in Pennsylvania, you know, where there's like four people. I get there. It's like the thing to do in town. Not only is the showroom sold out, it looks like, feels like Cheers almost, but there's other rooms. There's a pool table room packed. There's a diner packed. Everyone in town hangs out at this one place. The parking lot's packed with people doing meth. And
I have a story like that on the West Coast, actually, about a small town. It was a small town in Northern California. It's called Point Reyes Station.
I know Point Reyes.
They have Western Day where people come in horse and all that. So this chick, I won't say her name, but that's my boo. She got this tatted when she met me. She heard me on a podcast, was a fan, and then she flew out to meet me in New York. She'd never been on a plane, never been to New York, flew to New York,
met me. She's from Point Reyes.
Well, she's from Oakland, but she works in Point Reyes.
Okay.
So she gets the duck tat on her. And then, so I ended up flying out to Oakland. No, I flew out to Oakland. I was doing a show. She flew, what else? Either way, she flew out to meet me. Then after we had a good weekend, I went and saw her in Northern California.
Okay.
So I go to Point Reyes Station where she works. They treated me like I was a god. Like, so she was like, this is Phil. He's a famous comedian from New York City. I'm like, famous. Great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm at the comedy shop this weekend. but I go out there and so... So there's a she plays the guitar, and they had a music open mic at the saloon.
Okay.
An actual fucking saloon with the swinging
with the doors.
It was sick.
Piano player?
Yeah, dude, it was so cool. To me, it was cool. I was like, this is an actual fucking saloon. They have a music open mic. So I'm there watching her. Word gets out, we have a famous New York City comedian there. So they're like, would you please do a set for us? I do 12 minutes.
You did?
Destroyed the
no
place.
Way.
I'm talking absolutely.
And it was an open mic music night?
Yeah, it was open mic music. So everybody was singing, playing good instruments. Yeah. And they were like, we have a comedian.
It was a hoedown.
Yeah, they were like, could you please just do like a little bit? And I was like, all right, cool. They loved it to the point where they took my picture. The only other person that's been famous that's been to that town was Prince Philip in 1995. And they put my picture right beside Prince Philip.
Wait, isn't he the pedophile one?
Who cares?
But that's Prince Andrew. Prince Andrew. Yeah, who cares? Amazing.
But the Phillips cancel each other out. One pedo, one real one. But, and they have my picture up in that bar to this day right beside the royalty. I was like, dude, this is the sickest shit ever.
Do you open with like crowd work? What do you do when it's just you?
Yeah, I open with crowd. I was hosting.
Yeah.
I gave a couple riffs on the town and like in the shit. And then I just went into material.
That's what I've learned. Anything you say local.
Go local. But that's what I do. Anytime I'm on the road, I never jump into it. You'd have to be a rookie to do that.
Always
give them something they can relate to. Get them on your side. Once they're on your side, they'll let you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But normally, like when I'm on the road, what I do is I find whatever local newspaper they have and I just read it.
And you do that?
I always do that.
They always said, who is it that used to do that? Like they would request, I feel like all the 80s, 90s comics.
Well, yeah, back then it was a lot harder. I got my phone, so I'm like.
Yeah, they were like, in the green room, I want today's newspaper.
And I just read what's happening. I'm like, that mayor of yours, huh? And they're like, no way. Yeah, I'd always do that. Any city, any town. Just find the new.
I would just tell people I bought meth in the parking lot. Yeah. And in most cities in America these days, that hits.
See? But see, I feel like that's kind of what they expect. I'm like, no, I got to give them something so they know that I've done some research on them. Like, I know who the fuck y'all are.
Then the mayor's there. He's sitting in the front row.
I was like, oh, he's fucking stealing money. I said, look at him. He definitely stealing money.
He's like, that's me.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this guy's funny. I'm like, I'm dead fucking serious.
I heard a story about Colin Quinn. He had to do a corporate event. It was like a 3-day... let's say like a dentist convention or something like that. So his show is on the next day. So he spent an entire day there going to all the different seminars and just learned about the whole thing so he could make fun of it the next day.
Brilliant.
That's brilliant. But it is. People don't realize like, yeah, you're naturally funny, but you have to be relatable. That's all comedy is. You have funny material that you do one night and it bombs the next night because they can't relate. They have no idea what you're talking to. So when you're on the road, if they can relate to it, they're going to automatically block
it. I also think there's like, you would never walk up to a conversation of people you don't know and just start talking about yourself.
Right, exactly.
You would start talking about them.
Right.
And then once you're in, then go to yourself. Yeah, I do the same thing with stand-up. Yeah, I'm like, the first few minutes is going to be about you guys. And I'll try, if I'm in a day early, I'll try to drive around and take notes of like whatever the weird street signs are, whatever, anything like that.
Yeah.
All right. Should we get to it? We got questions. You got questions. We got answers. Let's get to our... Oh, wait. Last thing we should promote before we get to that is May 22nd, we're doing a live show in New York City.
Hey, man. If you're even close, Poughkeepsie, Albany, Sacramento.
Come on in.
Get to the show.
Tickets are on sale now. You got a month and a half, whatever it is, till we're actually doing it. Get your tickets. And if you go to Patreon, if you subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice, your ticket's free. So just do that. That's $5. Sign us up. Help us get to our $250 goal. And then you get in free at the New York Comedy Club. And people have been asking the question. So here's the answer. If you don't live here, if you live like Pascal Hauser, if you live in Austria, but you're a Patreon subscriber, we're going to put it out. We'll put the video of it out on Patreon.
And you get a free link to Turner's OnlyFans. So
sure, because I don't have one. So great. But, do you have one?
No, but you know what's crazy? It's not
comedians like a lot of starting to do it.
They all, well, they're not naked. They're doing comedy.
Like, I was wondering because I saw fan. Brad Upton. He's yeah, like 70 like, years old.
A lot of, I mean, Erica Sparrow, all of them, like they like El Orlando, they have a comedy. They want to get away from just being known for like sensual porno shit. So they started, they made a comedy channel so that you have to pay these people's subscription to watch their stand up. And that's what they're doing. Because I was like, you have an OnlyFans? And I saw one girl wearing OnlyFans socks. I'm like, you have a page? She was like, yeah, comedy. I was like, naked comedy?
It's I didn't regular. Know.
Yeah, OnlyFans are trying to branch out.
I've seen
out.
That recently. I'm like, wow, a lot comedians are getting desperate.
A lot of comedians. Yeah, they're not naked. Not, it's not the pandemic anymore.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, we'll be right back.
Black and white.
Hey, you want to get bonus content, early episodes, and have your questions answered on the show?
Well, then subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice and subscribe right now.
Do it, and we'll give you a shout out on a future episode.
And I might call you the N-word.
All right, we're back with your black and white advice questions and answers. The first question comes from Justin in Baltimore.
He says, B-more, what up?
What's up, Justin? He says, I used to work valet parking with a bunch of black guys. I remember they asked me why white people drink milk at dinner, and I never had an answer. Why do we?
You can take that because that's a question we've all wanted to know.
So is that? I didn't realize that was even a common question.
I grew up in white neighborhoods. Yeah. White families went through like 3 gallons of milk a week.
A lot of milk in our family. A lot of milk.
And somehow y'all still broke bones.
No, the only question... It was drilled. I don't know if it's still, it was drilled into our heads in the 80s and 90s that to be strong, you had to drink milk. That no one told us you had to exercise. No one told us you had to lift weights. No, I didn't know a single white kid who lifted weights, but we all drank milk because we thought it was going to like make us wrecked.
Right. Meanwhile, we were drinking Pepsis playing football, wrecking y'all. I'm like, milk does the body good, bitch.
So we just drank milk. And then, so milk at dinner, milk at breakfast, milk at lunch, milk, as much milk as possible. And the way you judge other families in the neighborhood was what percent milk they drank.
Oh, we was a 2% family.
So we were too. We okay. were 2%.
But whole anybody, milk all the time.
Yeah, whole milk was white trash.
Whole milk was white trash.
I want to be able to chew that milk.
The whole milk families in the neighborhood, my mom would be like, I don't know if you can play at their house. They drink whole milk.
Yo,
and then the 1%, it's like, whoa, what are you on? What are you like?
Health
a,
kick.
All the Yeah, all of a sudden, you're like trying to be a supermodel. It's like cocaine chic yeah, or whatever,
skim, because we always 2%. Whole milk, I could do, but it was a little thick.
Yeah.
But skim milk, I remember, like, I was at a white family's house, and I spent the night at a buddy's.
Yeah.
And they had skim milk, and I remember they put it in the cereal. I was like, y'all could just put water in this shit.
Yeah,
like,
skim milk, milky
water.
Judged.
Yeah, it was milky water.
And then the family, you could literally never go to their house. It was Yoo-hoo. Just the chocolate milk family.
Oh, I'm like, Yoo-hoo. That was a treat. That was like dessert for the
no,
white
family.
No, but
there were kids who would just drink. They'd just have.
Oh, your parents. This is a lawless land.
Yeah, they go, oh, you want some milk? We got milk in the fridge. It's just all Yoo-hoo.
No. See, my family, if we going to drink chocolate milk, you had to make your chocolate milk. Get your milk, go get that Hershey syrup
that
in there.
Sick.
That's
that
the best kind.
It is.
Yeah.
Because Nesquik was awful. It was so much sand at the bottom of the cup. I was like, I can't drink this. This is sediment. And I hated it. It would be powdery at the bottom. Even no matter how much you stirred it,
you
get a mouthful of powder at the end. I was like, this is ghetto.
Ugh.
Yeah, nah, give me the regular.
Also, you know, when you're making your chocolate milk with the Hershey syrup, of course you're going to take a little sip of that syrup.
Joe said it's so naughty. Of course you're going to take a little sip of that syrup.
A little squeeze for yourself.
It's like when it's the children version of when you're like blowing up balloons and then you just take a hit for yourself.
Am I the only one that loves strawberry milk?
I didn't like strawberry
love
milk.
Strawberry milk. No. To this day, I'll drink a strawberry milk.
Oh,
it's so good.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. And then what would happen? The parents, this is how much we love milk. The parents would all drink Slim Fast. That was a big thing. which was like adults chocolate milk.
Yeah, it was. And and it had more sugar than regular chocolate
milk. Worst thing.
Slim Fast didn't get anybody skinny. It was so I don't bad give a fuck. Too. Nobody got skinny on Slim Fast.
And talk about chalky. It was pure chalk.
It was protein. Mouth. It was like weightlifting protein shakes.
Why are dad's farts so bad?
Slim Fast. I remember my parents, there was like 1 week where they got Slim Fast. My mom got Slim Fast. And then my dad got that ab shocker belt. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it was like on TV, the commercials. Yeah. It was like a WWF championship belt. And all, it was electric.
Abs in 2 weeks.
So it would shock your abs. And he would sit there and be like, I'm working out.
With a beer in his hand.
Watching TV.
Beer in his hand.
Neither one of them did anything. They didn't help at all.
I'm telling you, none of that shit. Jenny Craig, none of that 90s shit worked, bro.
None of that. Oh, the Jane Fonda workout. My mom did that for a while.
Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons.
Tybo. You remember Billy Blanks?
I remember Tybo.
Billy Blanks. I remember watching Tybo. I was like, this nigga is scamming. I'm proud of him because that shit don't work.
He was definitely hooking up with all the...
He was fucking all them white women.
Patrons.
Yeah. That man was getting white puss left and right.
We did Tybo in our gym class. They would roll out the VHS tape on the
no
cart.
Way.
Yeah.
No fucking
really?
Way.
Yeah.
What a lazy ass PE teacher.
I was
going to
say, who's the
wow.
PE teacher?
It was such a phenomenon.
You could just run through the parachute like everybody else and get molested.
What year did they get rid of dodgeball? Did they have when you were growing up? Well, you're from the South. I'm sure they still have it.
Oh, dodgeball was a thing. They never got... Dodgeball's still a thing.
Is it still? I thought they had decided it was like...
They outlawed Smear the Queer.
No.
Yeah, that was the game.
That was my childhood game.
That was my game.
Yes.
Smear the Queer.
That was great.
I think about that. I said, you'd be charged with a hate crime in school today if you played Smear the Queer.
Of course.
No, 100%. They would lock you up.
The whole game was based on a hate crime.
But the thing is, I remember my teachers like, you guys will have fun. Play Smear the Queer.
Yeah, yeah,
we have kickball.
Yeah. Our teachers said, yeah. Yeah, dodgeball, kickball.
And I was like, we're playing Smear the Queer today, boys. What are you talking
about? And everybody like, Smear the Queer, Smear the Queer, Smear the Queer.
And we didn't even realize like what you were saying.
Smear the Queer, whatever you want.
What a fucking crazy name.
You get to pick.
It's like playing a game called Lynch the Nick.
Yeah, it was awful. Did they have that in Buffalo? What's amazing? Sorry, did they have it?
So in high school, it was
high school.
Dodgeball was banned, but they called our gym teachers were cool, so they just did the exact same game and called it tactical maneuvers.
Tactical. Same message. Tactical maneuvers.
Yes, Spirit the Queer made it from Sacramento to South Carolina pre-internet.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
It traveled.
It was
Oregon Trail. It was one of those universal games that just made
but
it
But at
around.
Least that was on a computer, the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, this was word of mouth.
This is word
it's
of
like,
mouth.
Like, you want to kill gays?
This is how homophobic we were.
What'd you say they did in Buffalo?
So Buffalo, my school was very unique. It had square dancing. They did that for 2 weeks where they'd have a record player on stage, like a legit record. You had record, yeah?
We had square dancing.
Yeah.
So Pioneer Day.
Class.
It'd be the first time that the boys' gym class and the girls' gym class get together.
Wait, y'all had separate gym classes?
Your gym classes?
Yeah, we had just...
It was a regular gym.
Oh,
yeah, boys
and girls. No, we had guys and girls separate. And another Buffalo thing, this was...
Was that to be more, like, inclusive?
You don't want to play football with chicks.
We never let them. They were in the class. You just couldn't fucking play.
They just stood on the sidelines.
No, they were separate. But what my dad used to tell me and my grandpa, this is confirmed before... This is before my time, but pool class was all naked.
No.
All the boys, I swear to God, that's a Buffalo thing. That's a Buffalo thing.
That was some pedophile shit.
You would just jump in the pool and make it.
What? We had gym uniforms.
No.
But we actually had like change in our gym.
This is the 70s and before, you know?
Buddy.
Yeah.
I watched Grease. Even in Greece, they had gym uniforms.
Yeah, I don't know.
Y'all were out here getting
Buffalo?
Fit.
It's true. It's a Buffalo thing, I think. And,
yeah, I bet it was.
That must have been awkward. Imagine being that age and like... middle school, and you get and some kids have pubes, some kids don't have pubes.
That
you know?
Buddy, Joe, case. That doesn't even make sense. But you know what they did? They did showers, I remember, back in the day, and that was like, because in football, I remember being self-conscious when I got to high school.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't want to take a
no
shower with open.
School.
And so we would shower with our compression shorts on.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just all put our keep our compression shorts on. But my dad was like, when growing up, you just everybody was naked in the shower because that was a normal thing. It was a part of growing up. But to be in a swimming pool butt naked and in high school.
Oh, yeah. Bring swimsuits.
Yeah.
You didn't do it.
Joe,
you just
I'm telling you that y'all got.
But
was
they
it
separated
a, was
boys
it a Catholic
and
school?
Separate boys and girls, of course.
Yeah, was it Catholic?
No, this is fucking Buffalo this public schools.
This got to be the clip because I want to hear public back. School? I want to hear back from people from Buffalo now.
Okay.
So y'all invented chicken wings and pedophilia. Oh, my God. Joe, That is insane.
It's no one our age, but like if anyone's listening and they've heard their parents talk about swimming naked, let us know.
One of our I know somebody from Buffalo who listens to, well, she watches the clips at least. I'm going to ask her. I'm a matter of fact, listen to this episode. So you, I need you. She was born in 1980. So I wonder if
that's about mine. Then, I'm a little younger.
She has a
younger,
banging but... body. So she's a hairdresser. She's a smoke show. But
has she written in before?
Oh, yeah. No.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has.
She wanted to know if she could do blackface for Halloween. That's...
Yeah. Okay. So we do remember her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, dude, she's hotter than fish
she's
grease.
A sweetheart.
Yeah. She's cool. But yeah, she's a smoke show. Anyway, dog, we gotta do some research on that, dude. The fucking naked gym class.
That sounds very
illegal. With grown ass teachers like
that,
you watching
know that
you.
Sounds like a class action lawsuit. If anyone's a lawyer,
do you have
I gotta
mesothelioma?
Wait for you to make a
like,
bunch of money right
y'all
now.
Are, y'all can get paid for this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Statute of limitations probably.
Sue
up.
The public school district of
that's
Buffalo,
wild,
New York.
Dude. That's so crazy.
Is that a Canada thing? Because I know Buffalo's almost
in
Canada.
New York, buddy.
Yeah, but it's pretty close.
It's, that doesn't help.
They have those Canadian fast food restaurants up there, right? Like the hockey
Tim Hortons?
Tim Hortons. But there's, yeah, like the hockey player.
There's Tim Hortons in New York, though.
Yeah, I'm like,
New York
that's
City,
not
there's
really.
Tim Hortons.
I think it's
I didn't know that. I've only seen it in Buffalo.
It's like it's literally in Penn Station.
Oh, next oh question. God. Aaron in Folsom, California wants to know.
Folsom Prison Blues, Johnny Cash.
I grew up on Folsom Lake, across the lake from Folsom Prison.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn, Turner.
Tough times.
It is. Okay.
Aaron in Folsom, California wants to know, do black people do April Fools? I can say I Googled this.
You did?
And
I mean, of course we do April Fools. I mean, it's a prank day. I mean, we just, you can say whatever. I mean, I don't think it's a color thing. It's
is
like
it
I,
not?
No, it's really not a color. I'm like, black? Yeah. You know how many like women play around? Like, I'm pregnant. April Fools.
My brother one time called me and said he got a girl pregnant.
Yeah.
And then it was an April Fool.
But and that's funny, but it's a lot scary when the girl does it.
The girl calls you
like,
and says she's
like,
pregnant?
I'm like, Phil, I'm late.
Oh,
and you're like,
gosh.
What?
And that's the April Fools?
The thing is, a couple of times, because this was when I was younger in college, they let it go the whole day.
Can I say something?
And I was like,
I don't like that one.
No. And the thing is, it's not like, just kidding. It's like, no. They tell you in the morning, and then like 6 minutes, like, oh, I was just fucking with you. It was April Fools. And you're like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Let you know, like, at night. Phil's already three states away.
Yeah, I've already dropped out of school and ran.
Changed his name. He's peeling off his, like, fingerprints. Peeling off his dead skin.
Bitch, I already faked
fingers.
My death.
Yeah, that's not a nice one.
That's some sick shit.
Oh, my gosh. So when I Googled it, because I wanted to know the answer, a lot of people said no, because they said America has fooled black people too many times. And they said the Tuskegee experiment. And it was 15 times that America's April fooled black people was the headline.
I mean, they made some points, but no, that's not true.
So
you must have looked that up on Urban Dictionary. Like, the white man has tricked us enough.
Yeah.
Told us we was getting a better life.
It was
slavery.
MalcolmX.com. Yeah. Oh, 40 Acres and a Mule was the original April Fool.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Still waiting on that joke.
Yeah.
This is the clip. It ain't even close. That was it. Wow, that was funny as shit.
So that's what I was wondering, because I was like, that's an interesting question. Let me look it up.
Oh, that's fucking great.
What did you do anything for April Fool's this year? Any of you guys?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I had this little like text message I got, like it makes it look like an Apple Pay.
Okay.
I sent like four people $500 and they click on it. I was like, bitch, yeah, right.
You did? That's great. You do any?
No, but when I was a kid, I had a good one. My best friend down the street, he's like, I got an idea. I want to make my mom think that our car is broken, because he just started to drive, was just able to drive to the store. So we pulled his mom's minivan into the driveway, opened up the hood, and I had like a fog machine from Halloween, and I put it underneath it and just made all this smoke come out, and she came out and started freaking out.
What? Oh, that's, the car's on fire?
Yeah, like it was just smoking and you know,
so
burning
good.
Oil and stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
Can I tell you what I did? I almost sent it to you guys. I sent people a picture of the happy April 1st from the April alligator. And then below it, it said, April Fools, this is a crocodile, you idiot.
I don't get it.
Black and White Advice.
I thought it was hilarious. The April alligator. I'm like,
it was a picture of an alligator, but actually it was a crocodile.
Okay. Got it.
I put a lot of effort into it.
That is a white prank. That is a white prank. Like, he was like, this is great.
I laughed so hard when I saw it.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm like,
okay. It's a meme I found online.
It's not an alligator. It's a crocodile. Get out of here, Steve Irwin. Nobody gives a fuck. Wow.
Next question. Okay, I'm a Julio.
What's that mean, a Mexican?
Why is it? Yeah, I'm still reading. I'm a Mexican and I live in Seattle. Why does my white girlfriend want to drive 8 hours to a Renaissance
fair? Why would he say, I'm a Julio?
No, he said, I'm Julio.
I'm a Julio.
No, I read it incorrectly. I'm Julio.
That's what I was like, so he's Mexican.
My name is Julio, is what he's trying to say. Me llamo Julio. Should I take it again?
Yeah, read it again, because I didn't know what you were talking about.
I'm Julio. I'm Mexican, and I live in Seattle. Why does my white girlfriend want to drive 8 hours to a Renaissance fair?
Again, like any other fantasy.
What? Yeah, what is, I don't know.
Comic-Con, white people's life is pretty easy, and they want to go to another realm to see how much more fun it can be.
There's something
people... We got bills to pay in our communities, Julio, and that's why you ain't never been no fucking Comic-Conner, all right? Because we got real bills and real fucking... I ain't got time to go LARPing in Central Park with these fucking losers.
Wait, but Renaissance Fair is not Comic-Con. It's two different things.
Still, it's all fantasy.
It's the same concept.
Same, yeah. You just fantasy in a different era. One person wants to be a Shakespearean fantasy, and one person wants to be Buzz Lightyear. Still fucking fan. Grow the fuck up.
I think, I mean, listen, people have said this for years, but there was a reason why nerds got bullied for like 20 years. And the fact that they're not anymore, we're seeing the results of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, everybody's trans.
Not only that, but like... All the Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, all these people, they should never have made their first million because they should have a low self-esteem.
Well, the thing is, they always made their millions, even back then. I mean, like Revenge of the Nerds, they were always going to be the most successful. That was the trade-off.
I guess that's
true. Get your ass beat, but you become successful later in life. The jocks end up working at Jiffy Lube, and that's just kind of how it is. The thing is,
but they thought
they've gotten worse now because we don't whoop. When you've had your ass whooped before, there's limits to what you'll do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Now you've been a nerd. Nobody bothered you for being a nerd. There's no shame. There's no ass whoopings. So now you have this false sense of confidence.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can do whatever I want. And that's how you get dickheads like Elon Musk. Yeah. He ain't never really get his ass beat.
He needs to.
I'm telling you, they need to dog walk
Elon. Yeah. Yeah. Someone needs to come in there.
14 kids? 13? Come on. There's not a fucking or a black man out there that would be... I mean, Nick Cannon, but still, he's one of the few. Like,
but he's not also not running our country.
He's not running our country. There's never been a politician like... But again, he's... The camp politics isn't even about thoughts and ideas. It's about who has the most money and can buy their position.
It is now.
That's all it is now.
Yeah.
You don't have to know shit. You don't have to even have experience. Are you rich enough? Okay, he can be it. He seems like he made money. He must know.
He didn't actually get elected. He didn't run for anything.
But he is running the country.
He's running the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
What was the original question?
The original... Yeah, we didn't even answer it. Why do white people... Why do they like Renaissance fairs? What? Do you have an answer for that, Joe? I don't know what the answer is.
Joe looks like he's been to a Renaissance fair,
too. Yeah, out of all of us, you got the best shot.
Well, they're definitely nerds, like you said.
Honestly, it's good.
I think it's people that are into like weird sex stuff. That's what I think it is, because they got to wear the corsets.
They're like my liege.
The cod pieces.
And I bend the knee. I bet you that pussy stank too. They don't watch. They're like, let's live like we're in 1520.
My buddy went to one though recently with his girlfriend or his wife that's really into that shit. And he said everything was so expensive. Like waiting in, it was like going to a sporting event, like waiting in line for 30 minutes for a turkey leg that's $15 and, you know, $12 for a beer.
It's fair,
like
medieval times.
It's fair prices.
So it's like, you know, it's like an event thing.
Can I take the opposite side? I think we need more Renaissance fairs. If this is a thing that's entertaining nerds, we need more things for nerds to be entertained with so they're not shooting schools and they're not trying to take over our country. Can it be wall to wall our nationwide Renaissance fairs?
I would hate that.
We need to at least shoo them into something, you know, shoot like over here.
I mean, there I think they go. Got quite a few activities, man. I mean,
what else do they have? What else do nerds
Erector
do?
Sets.
They have kaleidoscopes.
Yeah, I mean, they do some shit. They do shit, you know, they make apps now.
Yeah, we don't want him doing any of that, though. None of this tech stuff. Get away from the tech stuff.
Well, you can't say that. They've always been in the tech stuff, even before they had computers.
I know, but it's not doing our country any good. It's making us worse. Buddy, we need them to stick to the Renaissance.
I'm not
going to
lie, buddy. Without Uber, we were struggling.
That's a good point. Yeah, fine. Yeah, Uber's good.
Yeah.
All right.
DoorDash.
Yes. Is that it? Do we have any? What do you got? White lies and dark truths.
I mean, not much, guys.
We nailed it.
I looked a little bit up about milk.
Oh, milk.
So approximately 80% of children ages 2 to 8 years, 57% of children aged 9 to 18 years, 42% adults aged 19 to 70 years, and 60% of adults aged 71 plus were milk consumers.
42% from that age range, you said?
And this is regardless of race?
No, that's white. They didn't say it.
I think it's safe to assume everyone's white.
Yeah, I'm beyond those.
100% of these
those
people
are white Michael Jordan numbers.
So black people don't drink milk like in the home?
I mean, as a child, you do.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking. You said, why do like teenagers and children we do.
But you stop at
at a certain age. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you want to build strong bones. Yeah, you might have a glass of milk a day, but y'all would eat it with like your meal.
Yeah.
No, that was never a thing.
Milk and a steak. Ooh.
See, that's what I'm saying.
And then you dip the steak in the milk. No way. You ever do that?
Don't fucking say that. That almost grossed me the fuck out. I'm like, there's no chance in hell y'all do that. I remember in high school, because these two twins on the football team, they drank more milk than anybody. Like, it was like the Bruners, they drink milk. And so at football camp, we had two-a-days. And so at night one day, they're like, we're doing the gallon challenge. They're like, if anybody can do it, you two can do it. A gallon of milk in 1 hour.
Oh, I've heard about that.
They literally did it.
No, you can't do it.
No, they did do it. And I'm talking, they got to the last drop and puked. And I'm talking about white spray. They got it down, which was so impressive because they were like, it's impossible.
People
in
our school tried it. No one could do it.
They got it down. Like, that's how good they were. They
the
got
Bruners,
it down.
Legends.
But it stayed down for after the, like, because they were like, I mean, it took them an hour. And they got the last drop and they raised it up. And then he literally just, both of them, same time, just, I mean, sprayed. It was crazy. I was like, I'm impressed that you even got it.
Shout out to the Bruner,
bro. The Bruners, man. Yeah.
Yeah, no one could do that at our school. I remember kids trying. I was doing all boys school. People would try that and stuff like that all the time.
And that's what I'm saying. So they couldn't keep it down, but they got it out of the carton.
Good for them.
Yeah, they got out the jug.
All right, that's the episode. May 22nd, everybody. Get your tickets now. Go to New York Comedy Club's website. Or I got them up on my site too, turnersparks.com. Get your tickets. And they're already selling. People are buying tickets now. So
let's
get
go. In.
And that's it. Patreon subscribers, stick around. We got bonus question for you. Everybody else, see you next week. Stay black.
You've got a question, but you're scared to ask. Just drop the boys a message because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice. They ain't always nice, but you can't think twice.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.